Blog Talk Radio.
Hey girl, and what up dude? As always, I'm happy to have you join me today. This is your girl Princess with Truth Heals Hurt Radio, bringing you truth whether you like it or not. My guest today is the very powerful and anointed First Lady of Simon Temple, Reverend Felica R. Thompson from Fayetteville, North Carolina, talking about free to be me while wearing many hats. And then at 8:30, my multi-talented and gifted sister is going to come talk to you about what's love got to do with it. That's right, Paige Jackson is coming. You aren't ready for today's show, but it's time. So text, tweet, Facebook, or call somebody and tell them it's about to go down. Ready, set, let's heal!
Well, hello, 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 everybody that's listening. I am so excited about today's show. I think I'm going to have to call and try to reach Reverend Felica. Because I want you guys to hear from her, and I want to make sure that you all hear from her clearly. Now, we're not having the same technical difficulties that we were having the first couple of shows. So if you hang on as a commercial, I'm going to try my best to get her on the line.
What is this?
What's what? What's that? Savannah, sweetheart, what is that? Why are you showing me those?
Don't you dare do that, Shelton. Don't you dare stand there and tell me that you have no idea what these are.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about you cheating on me. How could you do this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't believe you did this to me. After all these years, after all the love I've given you, after everything that I've given to you.
But I don't.
Sheldon! Help me, please. My husband, he collapsed. I think he's had a heart attack.
If you want to find out what happened to Sheldon, you'll have to get a copy of Touched by an Angel by Victoria Christopher Murray and Princess F.L. Gooden. Happy reading.
Okay, I'm back on the show. And again, I'm reaching out to First Lady. They have a lot going on, so y'all give me 1 second. Those of you that are listening, I see the First Lady. Hold on, I see you, First Lady. I'm coming to get you. Reverend Felica?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, too. Glad to be on the show.
I'm so excited. Now, we can't do a reunion right now, so I don't have to call you back later and do a reunion. But we have a lot of listeners on, and I'm like, wow, everybody wants to hear Reverend Felica, and I don't blame them. First let's start off with saying the reason why I wanted you to do this show is because you are a prime example that you can be a mom, be a first lady, be a whole bunch of stuff, a radio talk show host, an anointed and powerful, I call it co-pastor, but
yeah.
It's just so many hats that you wear, and you do it so well that I would like for you to help some of the women that are listening in on the show today. So we'll probably just go all over the place. Okay, so no,
okay.
There's no rhythm. Okay, there's no rhythm to this. So first,
okay.
Let me say this. I got to tell my listening audience the reason why I picked First Lady is because I watched her as a whole lot of things went on in her life be so strong and still have to be First Lady. It's not a joke being a First Lady, especially over the many members that Simon Temple has. But I think she's going to have something added to her plate coming up shortly. First Lady, tell us first of all, how do you keep up with this madness? There's a whole bunch going on.
What's going on? You are exactly right. Keeping up with the madness, oh, wow. staying prayed up. That's the only way to keep up with what's going on. And also having people to remind you of things. You know, it's so much going on. If you don't prioritize and decide what's most important at the time, then you'll try to put a little bit into everything. But to me, that's not balance, trying to put a little bit into let's say I had 10 boxes, trying to put a little bit in all 10 boxes, that means something that needs more of my attention is not going to get it. So I'd rather bring 3 boxes up to the forefront and pour everything I got into those while a little bit is in the other 7. And once I have those 4 and do what I need to do there, then I can pull up the next 3, you know, and then do it that way. Because with so many things going on, you want to give 100% to all of them, but you can't give 100% to all of them at the same time. And so once I figured that rhythm out, I felt a lot better because I was always feeling like I was either missing something or forgetting something or wanted to pour in more into something that I didn't have the time for. So once I figured out that I couldn't be 100% in every single thing at the same time, That worked out better. Let me pour 100% of these, and then I'll hit the next set, and then the next set, and then there's only one left after that. You know, after you do those 3, and then hit that one. So you know,
and then there's a whole bunch of people expecting 100%. I mean, you have
right.
Your family, you have a whole bunch of people wanting you to pour 100% into all of them. I remember having back-to-back funerals, back-to-back, I'm talking about, and then you and your husband trying to meet the needs of the different families, and then you lost your father, and I kept saying to myself, oh, my goodness, with her having to go back-to-back to all of this stuff, how does she get what she needs being everything for everybody else?
If you don't steal away and take that private time with God that he can pour back into you and build you back up, if you don't do that and if you don't have, you know, you don't need a whole slew of friends, but if you don't have 2 or 3 that you can give a call and say, hey, I need to pray, let's pray. You know, you got to have
right.
that because nobody is an island. And if you don't have the people to lift you up, or if you don't have that private time just one-on-one you and God so he can pour back into you, then you are going to be drained. You will be drained, and it will be just like the life has been sucked out of you. Now that you brought that up, you're absolutely right, and I know you felt like if I had to do another obituary at this church because there's so many deaths going on, and then my father passed away. So I was like, Lord, what's going on here? That was my rock, you know, Phil. You know, I had one parent here. But, you know, God just started opening doors and making ways. And through his life, you know, so many other doors have been opened. And I've been able to develop relationships with family members that I didn't know before and that I didn't. Or that I knew, and I never stayed in close contact with them. My dad had one biological brother still alive. He has other siblings still alive that are step siblings, but his only full biological brother, he and I talk all the time. He sounds just like my father, and we are able to get on the phone and share those stories about my dad, you know, and that's comforting to me, but I didn't have that relationship with him before. So I'm just grateful for that through his life, I've been able to connect with family members that I never even shared a relationship with. I just knew who they were, but now I really know them, and I'm able to share life experiences with them and visit them. And so you know, he lives on. You know, so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I had to grasp the other death that was going on at church. You know, a lot of the people that were passing away, you know, especially after my father's death, it was like, okay, how do you pick and choose what to go to because of the fact that
right.
I don't want to be as much of a basket case as the family was, you know?
Right.
And so we'll be like, you're never here. You never come. I was like, you don't even know. I had my little private time at home missing these folks, but if I come up in here, Pastor has a different ministry than me. He can stay strong, and he can, you know, do that. But me, You know, I was like,
yeah,
honey, you sit this one out because I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this and you be all over the place. They'd be like, she ain't helping me. You know, so people will be like,
yeah,
I've never seen you. But I had to let them know, some ministry is just not for me. I can't do everything. And that was one that when it, you know, I didn't want to be more of a burden on a family than a help to lift up a family.
Right.
You know, you have to know what your gift is, and that one wasn't my suit. That wasn't my suit. And with my father passing, that was my biological father. About 7 years ago, my stepfather passed away. So, to him, I was his youngest child too. So I had to handle everything for his funeral as well. So it was like, wow, this is a deja vu moment right here. But I believe that because he brought me through it one time, I knew I could do it again. It wasn't easy, but he was there for me the first time, and God was there for me the second time, you know. So,
yeah.
So I'm just grateful.
And then with the kids, okay, you don't have kids that sit around the room and look and you just say, oh, what are we going to do today? You have kids that are very active, that have their own personalities, their own styles, their own gifts and talents.
Yes,
then you have your husband who is demanded all across the place. So then you play wife, not play, but you know, I'm just using that word. You know, you have the role of wife. Then you have the role of mother. And with your kids, you're very active. And see, I want people to hear this because you're not sitting somewhere saying, oh, well, since all this is going on, I just won't involve myself in some stuff. You're very active in your children's lives, too. So tell us how you manage that. How do you add that to this, you know, these church, the first lady part?
Well, I have to put that in the forefront because I know growing up I was a preacher's kid. And I used to always think that programs at church and all that stuff took precedent over me. I felt like that all the time. And I would be like, Mom, Dad, is it that important? You know, can you do this? They, you know, I was a cheerleader in school. They came to all my games. They were there. They supported. They transported cheerleaders to parades and stuff like that. But on another note, when I got older, it seemed like something was going on all the time, and I wanted them to be there. So we decided that we have a family calendar, and we sit down and we put everything on the family calendar. Who's got a game where, who has sports practice, who has basketball practice, you know, who has choir practice, bunch of board meetings, all that stuff. And now my kids, they've gotten older. My son ushers, my daughter sings in a choir, also helps out with children's church. And now she's in the youth group. Oh Lord. Oh, so trying to juggle all that, we had to get a family calendar just for family events on it. So we put all of the family events and then we tie them in to where I'm preaching, where my husband's preaching, and that's how we do it. If something is going on at the same time, it's like, okay, you get this game, I get this game, this one's going with you to preach, this one's going with me to preach. So most of the time, we set it up where we all can go as a family and support one another. And so that we more often than not, that's how we try to preface everything. Okay, if somebody has a game here, we're going to do it this way. And that's what we've done so far. That's what we've done so far. This year, my kids are in middle school. One is in sixth grade and one is in seventh grade. And so since sixth grade can't play basketball, my son wasn't able to play basketball this year. So for me, that was excellent because I didn't have two practices and I didn't have two games. But next year, he's going to be playing as well. So at least they'll be at the same school in the same place. It had been where before he was playing one place, she was playing one place. They had practice over this side, practice over that side. So I would be maneuvering, doing practices. And so now, you know, we get it all in. But it's like, okay, if it's time for him to get a haircut one day, I'm dropping him off at the barbershop. Then I get her dropped off at church for choir practice. And my husband will bring her home from choir practice. Then I'll go back to the barbershop and get him from the barbershop. And so many people think that because of the magnitude or the size of the church, that somebody else is doing these things for me. I've had so many people to come up to me and say, oh, so you're a real mom? And I'm like, what do you mean I'm a real mom? You don't have anybody to do that and take your kids? No, I have them. That's my responsibility. I'm not going to put them on somebody else to be picking up and talking off and say, well, those are my children. You got it all wrong.
And that's why I wanted you to come on the show, because I'm like, she doesn't have a miracle nanny and, you know, all this stuff. I wanted people to know she's doing this and this is real. So for moms that are listening and people that are just saying, well, I have so much to do, you don't know what so much to do is. I watch First Lady do a lot. And then I'm getting ready to add something for everybody listening. I'm getting ready to add more to her calendar. She also is over the women's ministry at the church, and she tries to feed back into us, like the wives only. There's different other things that she's doing. So then she does the wives only, and she's trying to help us to be better wives and better partners. And so that happens once a month.
Yes. And recently we just did a vision board party, and it was so awesome. It was so nice, and we had a great time. What I love about that is the fact that the people that do come out on those Saturday mornings, the ladies that come out, they want to be fed. They want to do better.
Yes.
As you always would quote when you were here, iron sharpens iron. And so we're wanting to be better at who we are and what we do. We know that we hold up our husbands in prayer, and we're learning to understand the dynamics of how men think and why they do the things that they do. And we're learning how to respect the position that God put them in as the priest and the provider and the protector of the home. And so I think that's so important, especially in our churches, for women to know we're not belittling anything in you to say that you should uplift your husband. But the point is that when you uplift him, you're uplifting you, because he is the head of the house. And so we have to instill that in all the women at our church. And sometimes we get it twisted and think it's all about us, but it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It's about doing what God has set forth for you to do and doing it in the proper manner.
Mm.
And so I'm learning not to think of my needs per se, because when the needs of my husband are met and the needs of my children are met, then I know I'm good. That's
right.
You know, but a lot of people don't feel that way, because they grew up in homes that they saw moms would say, you know, it's about me. You know, and I know, you know, we talk about the old adage, if mama ain't happy and nobody happy. But guess what? The whole house should be happy, right? So
I agree with that now. Yes.
Yeah. What's wrong with the whole house being happy? You know, so if we're allowing ourselves to be available, that God can transform us from the inside out, and we're not pointing the fingers, they do this, they do that. I learned how to not do that. I did that for years because that's what I saw done growing up. But you don't do that.
Right.
I had to learn that on my own, that search inside of you and see your flaws and your imperfections and improve on that and help those in your household and those that are around you and your extended family improve on what God has for them to be. And watch, you'll be happier, they'll be happier, and everybody, the whole house, you know, is connected, will be happy, because that's what your that's what your goal is to do.
And so how in all of this do you keep up with what you need? Like, for instance, you have a lot of gifts and talents. You have a lot. So how do you fit you in to this?
You know, I get fit in last, of course. And I know sometimes people say, that's so not good. My stuff will come in on the end. Because I feel like if I pour everything into what I want to do right now, I feel that will be selfish. So what I have to do for me, it gets done. It gets in there. You know, I have my personal time with God most of the time. My kids are in school. You know, when they're getting ready to come home from school, or if I'm out running errands and things like that, I'm ready to hurry up and get home, because I'm ready to see them. I'm ready to be with them. If there's something going on at church, or my husband's preaching somewhere, then I'm not going to accept a preaching engagement on the same day. And one lady laughed at me and was like, oh, you can't come because your husband's preaching somewhere. I said, yeah. She said, oh, that's so cute. That's real cute. Y'all
oh, wow.
I was like, okay, should we not? You know, or vice versa. He'll be like, no, we got something going on that day because my wife already has something on her calendar, so the family is going to go and support her. Oh, really? Oh, that's real cute. Y'all support each other, huh? Well, why is that funny? Why is that cute? Why? There's got to be something
because,
wrong with that.
You
why?
Know, people, let's tell the truth. Look, let's tell the truth because people – they are selfish to me. I meet a lot of
right.
selfish people that are like, and then why hate on what I'm doing? This is not your house. You know?
Exactly.
Like,
I feel the same way. You got it.
This our stuff. This how we roll. You know, do you, boo.
Right.
But this is me and my family, right. So, First Lady, then on top of that, the compliments that you get, and I used to hear people say all the time, wow, she's the First Lady with swag, like she doesn't dress like she throwed away, or she's that anointed, sanctified, but fine First Lady. So how do you keep yourself up? Because most of us, when we run raggedy, we make excuses and we say, oh, I didn't have time to do my hair today because I had to run the children all over the place, or my husband kept me up, or he did this. So tell us how to maintain beauty because you do it well.
Well, you have to take time for yourself now. I do a lot of different things, but I'm gonna take some time for myself. I promise you, I'm gonna relax and go get a massage. I'm gonna get a pedicure, I'm gonna get a manicure, I'm definitely gonna get my hair done. If I don't get to the salon, believe me, I know how to make it tight and right myself. So, you know, you have to do that for yourself. My kids and my husband always picking on me like, Mom, are you doing your hair again? Well, it wasn't quite right. I'm doing it again. Yeah. I told my husband, don't you care what I look like when I walk out the door? I know I do. You don't got to care if I do. He's like, yeah, I know. Matter of fact, I did a show last week with one of the TV anchors here in Fayetteville, and she turned it back on me, talking about, well, let me ask you a question. How come you come out, you always look like that? I said, maybe you don't see me when I have on sweats and a baseball cap. Because I have those days, too. And I can't.
But you'll be bling-blinging, though, know, First Lady. You still be bling-blinging.
Look, this is my philosophy. You can go to Kmart, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Beach Plaza, you can put everything together that you want to. It doesn't have to be expensive. Mm-hmm. But you can be decent and you can look very nice in whatever you put on if you care about what you look like.
Right.
And I think in the body of Christ, we need to care about what we look like because we represent God. But I do know I was out one day and I was I saw some members and I went and gave some members hugs and they were kind of looking at me strange like I thought you were past something. Like I was like, well, I am. And the lady said, well, you wear baseball caps? And I said, well, you hugged me, but you didn't quite know who I was. And she was like, yeah, I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure. I didn't think you wore baseball caps. Well, okay, why can't I wear a baseball cap?
You know, but look,
am I sad, boy?
Yeah, and then look, one of your members, which is actually a family member of mine, and it's funny
okay.
because some of my family members were stationed, they were moved to Fort Bragg, so they said, well, where do you go to church? And I'm like, I work at Simon Temple, and they started coming, they're still going. So Anthony
okay.
Duran, we call him Duran, he said her hair stays on point. So they're, look, I'm telling you, people would be all over the place looking. But I like that because, again, you wear so many hats, but at the same time, it doesn't reflect. Like, you don't look like somebody tired and worn out. And then you mentioned something that I want everybody to know. I'm adding something else to her list of things that she does. She's a radio show host for Free to Be Me Radio. So that happens every week. Now we've added
yes.
some more to her schedule. And you have guests that come from all over the place.
Yes.
And your show is ours. So I want people to know about
yes.
that. Can you tell us how to tune in to your show?
Yes, the Free to Be Me show comes on Thursdays at noon on WIDU. You can listen live and also view the show as it's going on live at WIDUradio.com. It was birthed out of being asked to host a First Ladies Roundtable session a couple of times by the radio station owners. And so I had hosted twice, and then they asked me to come back a third time. I said, y'all glut for punishment in here. But I went back a third time, and after that one was over, they asked me if I would do a show. They were like, you know, people like listening. So you should do this. And I said, well, how often? And they were like, every week. I said, well, what am I going to talk about? And they said, well, whatever you want to talk about. I said, well, what am I going to call it? And they said, well, whatever you want to call it. I was like, oh, y'all moving too fast. Y'all got me confused. I majored in education. My husband majored in communications. He was supposed to be a radio personality and all that kind of stuff. I said, not me. I said, but let me pray about it. Let me talk to him about it, and I'll get back with him. So God put it in my spirit from John, free to be me. He who the Son set free is free to be. And it came out, it came birth out of that, because so many first ladies, you know, we try to fit into somebody else's mold. We try to be who congregations want us to be. We try to be who we think people want us to be. And we try to fit into that fishbowl.
Yeah.
And when we get in that fishbowl, everybody's on the outside looking at us and seeing what we're doing. And sometimes we just want to float on top of the water, to be honest. It's just like, well, you know what, you want to see a shell? Okay, done. I'm done. All the air's been sucked out of me. Let me see on top of the water and see if you like that. You know, but the thing is, why do that? Why be in the fishbowl? You don't have to be in the fishbowl. You don't have to be in the box. You can be who you want to be. You can wear hats if you want to. You don't have to wear hats if you don't want to. You want to wear heels, then wear them. You want to wear high heels, then wear. You know, it's all up to what you feel comfortable with being, what God put in you to be. And so many times we have restricted folks, and we've told folks without coming out of our mouths and saying it that this is how you're going to act. This is what you're going to say, and this is who you're going to be. But I'm free to be who God called me to be. I'm going to be what He says I'm supposed to be, not what people say I'm supposed to be, because you're going to be so unhappy in your own life when you try to be what somebody else wants you to be. Sorry, been there, done that. I tried that before. That was not me. I have never been so unhappy in my life. You cannot be what people want you to be and be productive in your own life. You might as well be walking around dead. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free to be the person that God has created you to be. And if you don't be that person, you're not being authentically pure to yourself. And it's sad, but some people are doing that. Some people are really doing that, and they're not living out their God-given purpose.
Right. Well, before I met you, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do this. But I tell everybody, even today, I met Reverend Felica, and when I met her, she was talking about being free, and I kept saying, well, how do you do this? And you are a prime example of how to do it. So now I'm telling you, even this show and the things that I've always dreamed that I've wanted to do, I have to give thanks to God for allowing me to meet you, because you – I'm telling you, I don't know if you know that I'm telling you the truth, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You are the reason why I push so hard, and I tell people now with an attitude, I am going to be me, you whether you like it or not, and it's a campaign now for me. Like, I tell people, I try my best to let people know, you know, you are a prime example. You showed me that I can be me, and I'm pretty sure some other women can say the same, but for me, I truly appreciate that, because you walk it, you talk it, you live it, and if people want an example of it, you're that. So I truly appreciate that. Now, we have about 2 minutes for this, and it goes by so fast. I started to do an hour with you, but I said she ain't got time for all that. But anyway, tell us how we can connect with you, because after the show, people like to go see who I'm talking about and like to put faces, you know, because this is online. So tell us all. Yeah. So people, you may want to get a pad, pen, or something, because we want all of the connections that you have.
Okay. On Facebook, you can connect with me at Rev Felica R. Thompson. Also at you know them better than I do. You created them, Sister Gooden. Free to be Felica T. I'm just being honest. This is the woman that wears all the hats, y'all. She is the woman that got the S on the chest. I can't keep up with her, but I pray God continues to keep blessing her. Okay, so this is something she came up with. But it's awesome, and everybody's remembering. Except somebody asked me, did I like cats? Because they thought it said Felica Cat. I said, no, it says free to be Felica T. F-R-E-C-O-B-E space, and then Felica T, F-E-L-I-C-A-T. You don't have to capitalize that T, but that's how you can connect with me on Facebook. Also, Rev Felica Thompson at Instagram, Rev Felica Thompson, Rev Felica T at Instagram, and Rev Felica T on Twitter.
My website is www.redfelicathompson.com, which is under construction right now, being redesigned, praise God, in the name of Jesus. Thank God for that. But yes, all those things. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my website. So connect with me.
And y'all. I'm going to repost them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to repost them for you all that are trying to keep up, because she gives out great information, like things to motivate you and push you every day. She's going to do it, and she's on it. And she doesn't have these many gods and many people behind the scenes. She wants to talk to you herself. So if you connect with her, you're talking to Reverend Felica. You're not talking to some special person that's operating all this stuff for her. So that's another job.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Felica, I thank you so much for joining me today.
I appreciate you.
And I will connect with you shortly.
Yes.
Because I'm going to have
so
to have
much.
You back. Cause she has some testimony. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so now we're getting ready for my sister Paige. Those of you that are joining in, What's Love Got to Do With It is coming up next. Paige, I see you online. I'm going to open you up in just a second after this commercial.
Hi, I'm Rashonda Tay Billingsley, and by now we hope you've heard how we're changing the game with our boutique publishing company, Brown Girls Publishing. Victoria Christopher Murray and I founded the company because while we've both been blessed to still have careers as successful authors, we knew that because of the changing industry, there were many talented writers who weren't having the opportunity to let their voice be heard. The paradigm has shifted in film and TV and music as artists take control of their destiny. We're hoping to do that in the literary industry by bringing you quality fiction from fan favorites and fresh voices in every genre. Victoria and I personally edit every book to make sure you're getting quality stories. New titles are added every month. So come on over to browngirlspublishing.com and order some books and support these awesome writers. You'll be glad you did. Brown Girls Publishing, where the game has changed.
All right, we're back. I'm getting ready to add my sister in on this show. Thank you so much for you all to listen. Paige, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so
can you hear me?
Now, yeah. So a lot of people have been trying to, Paige and I have worked so hard on trying to figure out how to get this show together, because she wants to be real with you all about some things that she's done, and I kept trying to figure out how to title it so you'll be able to, you know, hear what she's saying and not read too much into it, and you'll tune into the show. But, hey, let's get to it now. It is time. Paige, how are you?
I am great. I just got real nervous, but I'm great.
Okay, well, this is easy. This is your sister, so, you know, we chill out here. It's going to be relaxed. So let's get started, because there's some people who tuned in just to hear what Love Got to Do With It. So let's talk about the relationship first. Was the relationship a perfect one?
When I wanted to talk about it, there were two relationships that came to mind, and neither of them were perfect. There was a lot of love for both of them, but neither relationship was perfect.
So what did you get out of the relationships that you were in that were not? And when I say perfect to the listening audience, I don't want you all to think their relationships are perfect, but they are perfect relationships for us. So my sister's admitting that the relationships were not perfect, but she stayed in them, correct?
Yes.
So when you stayed in these relationships, what was the motivation? What was the motivation?
So as I shared with you when we were talking, the first relationship that came to mind, I was actually engaged. I was 20. I was engaged, and we got engaged pretty quickly. He was military. And my motivation for staying, I feel like God started telling me beginning of the summer, like around June. We got engaged in May. Around June, God was like, this isn't it. You got to let it go. Like, no, I'm going to do it. And we actually were supposed to get married in July. We pushed the wedding back to December because I was hoping that the feeling would go away, and it stayed. But what I realized, I wasn't staying because of him and that I loved him so much. I loved him, But it wasn't, I wasn't staying for that. I was at peace with God saying the relationship needs to be over. I stayed because I was worried about what are people going to think if we, because I invited all these people and told all these people, what are they going to think if it doesn't happen?
Yeah,
I stayed because at the time, like, well, you know, but your viewer, your listeners might not know. You know, I'm always busy. I'm always, like, going after some goal. And so my friends had a joke at the time that I was never going to get married. And so then I had this feel like, oh, ever in life. They were like, you too busy. Somebody's going to try to propose to you. And you're going to be like, I ain't got time. I'm on a conference call. And so, like, there was this fear that, like, this is it.
Yeah.
And so I was so worried about how things would change if I called it off. Like, what's going to happen in my life if I don't, you know, if I don't get married? What are people going to think if I call the wedding off? You know, there was just so much that was not even related to him at all. Like, I made peace with God, said this ain't it, that it ain't it. But I couldn't pull out because of all those other things.
So,
Go ahead. Real quick, the other one, a lot of people don't even know that I've been broken up with my boyfriend for 3 years, for going on a year now. he was a professional basketball player overseas. I was actually living overseas with him when I started feeling like, this ain't it. God is telling me this isn't it. I was unhappy. He was unhappy. We're really great friends, but in terms of our relationship, like, we were not happy. And in that situation, kind of the same thing. I was worried about what people were going to think. I knew there were people rooting against us. I knew that I had friends that had been telling me, you can never get this basketball player to settle down, and so I didn't want them to be right. I didn't want to have to come back because I quit my job to go. I didn't want to have to come back and, like, with my tail between my legs, like, well, that didn't work out. Here I am. And then I was in, like, a group of women that were other, like, basketball player wives and girlfriends, and it was kind of like, I told somebody it felt like I was, had been in a secret society and I was getting kicked out. But again, made peace with the relationship is probably ending, but it was all this other stuff that, like, made me stay for way longer than I should have.
Okay, so we're in a relationship, we're not really happy, and we're concerned with what other people think. So how are we functioning? Like, is the relationship, are we, you know, faking, pretending? What are we acting like? What we feel like? What are you doing?
I became the queen in both of them, became the queen of putting on a fake smile because I was worried about what other people were thinking. So I had to put on my fake smile for the rest of the world.
So in this, because I call it, your sister has done this a lot, where I dress up, I call it dressed up garbage can because I dress up mess, you know, pretending for people. So as you were going about pretending, did the people that you were planning on, you know, getting married to, or indeed these two relationships we're talking about, did you, when you went around other people, because I want to help somebody else, when you went around other people, are you portraying this joy and happiness, and how did you do that?
With the first one, you know, with him being military, we weren't around that many people. So I would just portray happiness to other people when I was talking about the relationship. And when I was doing it that time, I wasn't aware. Like, I was convincing myself that I was happy and it was great. With the second one, I was very, I knew I was playing dress up. Like, we were hanging out with, like, other couples, and the girls usually knew I was playing dress up. He knew I was playing dress up because I would tell him, let me put on my happy face so we can go see other people.
Oh, yeah. So that was, it was clear in the second relationship. I got you. So we just. That's funny because we've all done that. So now, you're in this. This is getting so raw for some of these people. So hopefully you don't mind this question. Do we continue to have sex and that kind of stuff in these relationships where we know we're not happy?
You know, the first one, again, like, we just weren't around each other as much. It wasn't, by the time it was down to, like, I really feel like we need to break up, he had been stationed somewhere else. So it was just a lot of, like, you know, phone talk or whatever. But with the second one, you know, it was complicated. Yes, we did. And it was this weird, complicated, as long as we had one primary issue. And I ain't told that a lot of people you know and a few other people mm-hmm. know, it was infidelity. And it was a lot of, like, as long as we weren't talking about that and, like, trust issues that we had, then we were the best of friends. Mm-hmm. We could get along. I mean, it was great as long as, like, that issue wasn't being brought up. So there was a period where it stopped because I was like, I don't trust you. I don't know what you're doing. Don't touch me. But then there was a period where, like, it just continued. It's like, I don't really like you, but we in this thing.
Yeah,
and
I didn't think
I was actually going to get out of it. So, like, I had for a while, I had just decided, like, yep, I'm just going to stay in this forever and be miserable for the rest of my life.
And see, I'm getting ready to make
a statement. And it was like, I was trying to make the
good. Like, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, I was, like, in a position where I thought I was going to make the best of the situation when, like, then God started dealing with me saying, like, but this isn't my best for you.
Right. And see, that, and so, see, like, a lot of people settle. Yeah, a lot of people settle. But I want to make this comment right quick because a lot of people that, a lot of us do this. We are in relationships, we're unhappy. And so we pretend or we play house and people start cheating and, you know, doing different things that we know we would not put up with. We just know that this is not what we were taught. Our mothers would not be happy about us just letting somebody just run at us, up in us, however, because that's how your sister talk. But it's so funny because a lot of times, even though we're not happy, we still continue to do things with these people unhappy. And so just for the sake of saying we have a relationship. So was that, I know you said you did it for people, but was it also for companionship?
You know, it's so funny because that was the one thing that it wasn't for. And I, like, talked to other people about it, and they were like, are you just staying because you don't want to be alone? And how do I say this in the most humble way possible? Dating has never been an issue for me. I knew, like, when I leave this relationship, like, dating ain't the problem. Like, getting in another relationship,
yeah.
You know, like, having another successful relationship was never the problem. Part of it was comfort. But it wasn't the fear of, like, I'm going to be alone for a while, I'm going to have to start over. It was just really, like, I don't want to have these conversations with people. Like, we have, you know, people that are, we have mutual friends and mutual, like, acquaintances. And, like, I don't want to have to deal with that. And especially with this last one being, I feel like it was kind of high profile in some circles. Just having to deal with, like, falling from that glory, for lack of better words.
Well, I am thankful for Deron. He's online, and we are going back and forth.
I'm watching.
And so, look, it's funny because I'm going to say some of something that's going to probably hit really hard. Now, for the dudes that are listening, if a girl gives you sex after she knows you've been cheating on her, it ain't even about you no more. Let's just tell the truth. Okay, this is just something I think we do as women to just fill a void or a need we have. Because he was saying you better give him some or he may go somewhere else. And, like, unfortunately, my sister is my sister. And so we are Jackson girls. And so thank God for my husband because I love him dearly and truly. But before he came along, there was not an issue. I didn't care if you went out and did what you did because I was probably going to do what I was doing on you because you was trying to hurt me. So, trying to keep it real, we don't really care about you once you start cheating on us like that. Like, it's hurtful, but then it becomes, you know, like a war, a game or something. What do you think, Paige? Do you care?
You know, it's so funny because, like, that's how I feel. I would tell him, this ain't about you cheating. Like, I already know that's happening.
Yeah.
It became a battle of respect. Like, I'm actually mad because you think I'm dumb enough that I don't know.
Right, you ain't got
or
no skills because,
like,
you can't even keep a secret. Like, you can't even keep a secret.
Yeah, or, like,
you ain't.
I mean, that's really what it became. It became, like, ha, you think I wasn't going to find out. It took me to just a completely different place, a place I wasn't comfortable being. Like, I was a person that I didn't know, because I've always been that girl who's like, I ain't looking for nothing because I don't want any trouble. And, like, being in that situation took me to a place of, as he would call it, I was the CIA. Like, if it happened, I could find it, even from another country.
Yeah, and then half of them not even looking for it. Yeah.
But it really just became, like, and it became an issue of respect, but like you said, it became like a game. Like, hi, I just want you to know that I know. Good
yeah.
day. Good night.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then they go get these chicks that are not a threat. Like, you ain't bringing that in front of me. Like, I'm telling you, certain women, even though some of us try to keep it in the closet and some of the women try to act like we're just so ladylike and we don't have these tendencies, but it's some wrong and raw women in this world that act like dudes. And some of the same things that dudes do that they get away with, there are some women in this world that can actually play this game and play it a little bit different. And y'all do not want us to do a show about that. But anyway.
I was drunk, girl. You're going to have to let me come on that one, too.
Yeah, so I'm like.
I mean, you know, like, I ain't going to pretend that I have been this way the whole time. I ain't always been a good girlfriend. That's what we going to say.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, so you want to cheat. Okay, well, but can you do a little bit better with this since we got to pretend we're playing?
I can play the Yes.
Since we're going to do this. So, anyway, come back in. Come on back in, Princess, because that's why I want to do this show, because I'm like, truth heals hurt. Let's just help somebody heal, okay? So I'm giving her something. And as a big sister, I'm going to let my baby sister respond to what I'm getting ready to say. So when I see her boyfriends as her sister, I'm looking at some of them like, you don't even deserve my sister. You don't even match what is in my head. And so they probably get mad if I say that out loud. But out of love and respect for my sister, I say, okay, this is who she likes and loves. So I'm going to accept that. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be quiet. But some of the dudes, I will say, have not met up to Princess. And I don't have no problem meeting you head to head, toe to toe. But you don't even meet, and then you got enough to be cheating. Come on, dude. Like, what was that? But we're going to leave that alone, because we're going to be nice on this show. So, Paige, how you deal with when you meet the man that are you ready, or are you already in a relationship and you're acting right? What's going on now?
You know, it took a while for me to even really, to honestly be in a place where I was ready to date. I'm dating now. But, like, the reason I want to talk about it, there was a lot of healing that came out of the relationship. Like, when we're breaking up, you know, you break up somebody, like, you saying everything you mean and never said, and they saying everything they meant and never said. And when we were breaking up, he was telling me that one of the things he didn't like, and where there was a shift in our relationship, is because I did quit my job, and he felt like I had lost some of my independence. Because, like, I had to quit my job so that we could live in the same place. We agreed on that mutually. Like, I didn't force it on him. But then, like, once it happened, you know, he felt like I lost my independence. So then, like, you know, in the breakup, like, I'm reflecting, and I realized, like, I completely lost some of my drive, because my whole life became about him, and, like, I'm cooking him meals, and I'm figuring out his favorite things to do, and, like, I moved to another country, and, like, everything became about him. Mm-hmm. And so it was, like, my career goal shifted, and I was in this place of, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but it was simply because I was trying to meet, like, his lifestyle. I was trying to match my goals with his lifestyle. And so, like, the healing had to come through getting back to me. And focusing on, like, figuring out my career and figuring out my goals and figuring out what I wanted to do and regaining, like, my independence and the things that make me me.
Because you should you should never lose yourself in relationships, because who are they in a relationship with if it's not you?
Oh, wait, can I need to address Deron? I was not resentful, and I am still not resentful. He said I was resentful. I want to talk about it. I wasn't resentful. I didn't mind. I didn't mind quitting my job. Didn't mind cooking for him. Didn't mind that my whole life was about him. And people asked me, would I do it again? And I would. I would absolutely do it again because I learned so much from it.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, now, like, I've regained just a sense of who I am as a person. Now I know I have my line in the sand. Like, I will never do X, Y, Z again. And, you know, to be completely transparent, because this is truth heals hurt, we're, like, I'm not going to say we're talking again, but we're still friends. And
yeah.
So some of my friends asked me, like, would you ever date him again? And I said, you know, if we got to that point, I would. You know, obviously, like, there's going to be some conversations. Things have to change. Like, it's got to be, like, it has to be a visible, like, I know this is changing situation.
Yeah.
But, like, now I have my lines in the sand. Like, I know, like, this is where, like, Paige has to be Paige. Paige has to have her own career. Paige has
right.
to be her independent.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why it was good for me. It was a good experience for me. I wouldn't change anything about it. Even the infidelity, like, it taught me how much I'm willing to put up with. It taught me that I'm so much, like, that I'm worth more than having to put up with that kind of stuff. Because before that, I never, like, had to deal with anybody, like, cheating on me and being ridiculous.
Yeah. I had a shutdown just then, only because as you were talking, there's so many women, and I got quiet because it's really sad. There's so many women for sake of, and yours was different, but there's so many women that do these things for different reasons. Like, we lose ourselves in relationships. Now, men do it too. They don't like for us to know that sometimes they get in relationships with women that they should not be in relationships with and start changing a lot of things about themselves. You know what I'm saying? So, but nobody, and I hope people are paying attention, nobody should lose yourself in a relationship. The one thing I love about being married to Reggie is I can be princess. If I can't be princess, then it's no need for us to be together because eventually the real you is going to come out. You can't pretend for so long. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You're a very educated woman. You have high drive, you know, like you motivate people. And so I get going into the house, like I cook for my husband, I do these type of things, but at the same time, I'm going to have to do things that reflect princess. You know what I'm saying? Because my husband
and
is
I
a
think,
commander.
You know,
yeah.
When I was in Greece, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about you, like, finding things that were like you. And I knew, like, I felt like I was losing it. Or, like, not losing, like, my mind, but, like, losing the things that were making me. And I tried to, like, grasp at it and, like, cling to it. But it was difficult, you know, just being overseas and, like, trying to do everything. Like,
yeah.
I was trying to do the fitness business online. And, like, I'm still doing it now. But, like, having so, like, my other outlets that I have now that I'm back helps. But,
so
like,
then,
I would say, go ahead.
Oh, let me ask you a question. So you were saying that, okay, you all are friends, which is a plus for, you know, that you all stay cool after breaking up or whatever. But so do you feel like you can trust him again?
You know, I struggle with it. I'm actually a really forgiving person. Trust is a different thing. And that's why I always say, like, I don't know. I would really have to, like, not just hear him say the words, like, I'm going to do better, I'm going to be just going to be different. Like, this is going to be one of those, like, actions speak louder than words kind of things. I like the idea. And for background, for people that don't know, it wasn't like hey, I met this guy and we started dating. We've been on and off for 10 years, or we had been by the time, like, this all blew up last year. So we started dating when I was 17, right out of high school, and I will be 29 this summer.
Okay.
So there's a lot of history with the second one. So I don't know. I would probably, I like the idea of it. I like wanting to give it a shot, but it really would come down to like where he was, what he was willing and ready to do to like show me that it would be different.
Yeah, because
a lot of people say like somebody.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm gonna say a lot of people say like you know. Somebody's your ick for a reason, blah, blah, blah. But that's true. But I also feel like people are your ick for a reason, but God isn't always saying no, never. Sometimes what he's saying is not right now.
And well, so, let me tell y'all something. I got to tell you something as your sister. I don't know if you're aware of this, but a lot of people may not know this about Reggie and I. We dated the first time, 2009, and we ended up breaking up. This is after I was given the ring, after I had told everybody I was getting married. I'm all at work still wearing the ring after we broke up because I didn't want anybody to know that we broke up and the wedding was called off. I was walking around as people asked, well, so is he coming back? I think I probably lied and made him stay in Afghanistan longer than he really was in Afghanistan because I didn't want nobody to know that we wasn't getting married because I was worried about people. You know, people knew my situation. I was, you know, single mother with three kids. So to come back and say this man who has his life together and this type of stuff, you know, he asked me to marry him and then turn around and the stuff didn't work out. We had some issues to work through. But let me tell you about how, and I want to confirm that X not always an X. And that's the only reason why I'm saying this. Because there were some things about Reggie that Reggie needed to deal with, and there were some things about Princess that Princess needed to deal with. And so when we lost each other, it's when we realized that we were worth fighting for. We would not have went into the relationship at first like that. You know what I'm saying? And then we even dated somebody after we broke up, after the engagement. We both went our separate ways for almost a year before it was like, wait a minute, I value who I have, who I had. You know what I'm saying? So I can't say as your big sister that your relationship won't work out just because you're an ex right now. Don't mean you stay an ex. You just, hey, it didn't work out that first time. We had a good sense that first time. God gonna give us a second chance. Hey, let's do this the right way this second time because we don't want to lose this. So to me,
I think that's part of like my story, like the fact that I healed, and I don't know who listened because you know I put it on my Facebook. I don't know who's listening, but you know if anybody knows, I'm like. He's healed a lot, too. Both of us had some healing that we needed to do. Both of us had some growth that we needed to do. Both of us needed to get back to our relationship with God because, yeah, they kind of fell off. Both of us have.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I felt like both of us needed to be, we needed to be apart. We needed to be in a place where we could grow and in a way that we weren't growing together. And so because I know my changes I've made, I know what he's been going through this year and the changes he's made or, you know, from what I know,
yeah.
What he's made. That's
oh,
my not throwing in the towel. I see.
Right, but DeJuan has a question right quick. She was saying, being that the two of you are professional athletes, how do you make that work?
For people who don't know, I played lingerie football for a year, and that was actually during our relationship. I think both of us being athletes, and now I'm like a trainer and getting ready to start doing competitions, both of us being athletes, we have a respect for what the other person does. It really helped when I, out of the blue, started having groupies and fans, and he was able to respect it and understand and appreciate it, and I was able to respect and understand his situation. Not the like cheating, but you know, like the women are everywhere because like men are everywhere and I ain't even like a real athlete. You know what I'm saying? Like we weren't on TV. So anyway, I think it helped. In short,
okay.
I think it helped.
Okay, y'all, it's time to go. And you know, I laugh every Sunday because I'm like, maybe my show should be longer. I may think about that. If you think it should be longer, send me an email, text, page. I thank you and I love you and I appreciate you and Reverend Felica for being on my show. Those of you that are tuning in late or didn't get a chance to listen at all, this show will be posted and you can listen to it later. We're going to have to chit-chat on Facebook, I guess, y'all, because it's time to go.
Oh, no, it's
good
time
night.
To go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out.
Oh, oh, oh.
I appreciate y'all next week.